You are listening to the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast with Aqua Alex. On the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast, any and everything tropical fish and aquariums will be discussed. From freshwater to saltwater, cichlids to clownfish, Aqua Alex has you covered. What tropical fish topic is up for discussion today? Let's find out. Aqua Alex, take it away.
Hello, tropical fish keepers. Welcome to the first episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast in 2019. I'm your host, tropical fish keeper Aqua Alex Cardinelli, coming to you from my fish room in Springfield, Massachusetts. Welcome to the Season 3 premiere of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. This season on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast, you can expect many great tropical fish keeping shows and some wonderful special guests. I also want to welcome you to the very first action-packed episode of 2019. Season 3 and 2019 is going to be an incredible year and season for Tropical Fish Keepers and Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. I have a lot of great things planned for 2019, and I'm going to start by telling you what you can expect for Season 3 and 2019 for Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Coming to Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast in 2019. Catfish Corner. I am a huge fan of catfish. I love me some oddball catfish. Currently, I have a lot of oddball catfish. I have an Oxydorus niger, Megalodorus irwini. I have some black-tipped mouse catfish, Hacer oreasis. I also have a vulture cat and a four-line Pictus catfish. So I really do know and love my catfish, and I look forward to doing a series on catfish. I'm also going to be re-entering the saltwater hobby, so there's going to be some saltwater episodes here on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast, where I'll be talking about saltwater tropical fish. I want to do more on-location broadcasts this year. Last year, I broadcasted at the brand new School of Fish, Inc. inside the Eastfield Mall, and it was the best episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast in 2018. So we're going to continue that trend, and we're going to do more on-location broadcasts from tropical fish stores. And the good news this year is that I'm actually moving down to Southern Florida, so I'll be exposed to many new tropical fish stores, and I can't wait to do on-location broadcast from those tropical fish stores. I'm going to have more special guest interviews. A lot of wonderful tropical fish keepers will be on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast this season, including Rodrigo from Predatory Fins. I want to interview Rodrigo from Predatory Fins, and he will be on the show. He owns a wonderful monster fish business in Florida. They sell stingrays and predatory exotic tropical fish. I also have some other big guests in mind, so we're going to have some wonderful tropical fish keepers coming on our show this year. I'm also going to be doing another new series called The Cichlid Cave, where I'll be discussing all types of cichlids. We're going to continue our series that we started last year, and that's the Monster Fish Keeper series, since I'm a monster fish lover. Fish of the Week is going to return next Monday. So every week, every Monday, there's going to be a new Fish of the Week. And again, that starts next Monday. Now, for 2019 and Season 3, I am expecting my 200th episode, my 250th episode, and 300th episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. So you could expect some celebratory episodes for that. We're also going to have Aqua Slam 2019, the biggest tropical fish keeping summer party. And then we're going to have our 3-year anniversary of being on Buzzsprout and the 3 years of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. And so much more. There's a lot coming up for Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast in 2019. So this is the perfect opportunity to become a loyal listener. If you are a new listener, be sure to like our Facebook page, the Aquarium Network. Join our Facebook group, For the Love of Fish, LUV. Subscribe to us on iTunes and go to our website, aquariumhobbypodcast.buzzsprout.com. Now that we know what is in store this year, let's get the first big episode of 2019 started. Now that we know what is in store this year for Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast, let's get the first big episode of 2019 started. Here is what to expect on the Season 3 2019 premiere of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Tropical fish keeper and co-founder of our new Facebook fish group, For the Love of Fish, Justin Richards joins the show. Justin Richards will be talking about how he re-entered the aquarium hobby, the tropical fish he keeps, rescuing a giant gourami, the tropical fish hobby in Florida, and more. Learn about Corridor's catfish from one of the most passionate Corridor's keepers, who sadly passed away a few years ago. Hear Lynn Masney talk about her love of Corydoras and breeding Corydoras. I, Aqua Alex, will be discussing my 2019 tropical fish keeping plans, give a review on my predatory fins orders, and discuss three of my favorite Doradid catfish: Acer Oriesis, Megalodorus Irwini, and Oxydorus Niger. That's what's going to be taking place on this show today. Before we get started, I do have an announcement to make. Starting this year and this episode, each episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast will have featured songs from up-and-coming music artists during our intermission. As a matter of fact, our intermission is going to be a song from now on, unless I have something important to promote. Aqua Alex is proud to be working with Neil Walker, a music agent for up-and-coming music artists. So you, the listeners, will get to hear Tropical Fish Chat and some great music. I generally plan on doing one song per episode, unless it's a big special episode, like a historic 200th or something. Today's song will come from a pop rock band based in North Wales called Chasing Shadows. Chasing Shadows are a four-piece pop rock band based in North Wales, influenced by their favorite bands, such as the Stereophonics, Foo Fighters, and Green Day. Chasing Shadows aim to create an upbeat and exciting sound with catchy melodies. Without further ado, as they say, let's begin the show. To begin the show, I would like to announce that I have founded and created a new wonderful Facebook tropical fish keeping group that every single fish keeper is invited to. I am excited about this group because we bring something to the table that other groups do not. It is run by the most passionate, caring, and friendly tropical fish keepers you will ever meet. There is no drama or unnecessary problems allowed in our new group. This is the official Facebook fish keeping group for Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. It is run by me and my staff. I, Aqua Alex, am the owner and founder and head admin. My friend Justin Richards is my co-founding admin. And we have two wonderful moderators, Matt LeMay and Billy Veers. Without them, this group would be nothing. It is a brand new group and has over 350 members already. So, I'm going to go on the record and say thank you to Justin, Matt, and Billy. Because I am a passionate tropical fish keeper and love the tropical fish hobby, I decided to create a community group for all tropical fish keepers to join. Our group is a place for tropical fish hobbyists all throughout the world to share their love of the tropical fish aquarium hobby. You can post pictures of your tropical fish. You can post your YouTube videos. You may sell tropical fish and post anything related to tropical fish. The name of the group is For the Love of Fish. Love is not spelled L-O-V-E. It's L-U-V. So again, our group is For the Love of Fish. For the L-U-V of fish. We all love tropical fish. So if you love tropical fish, come join us. We allow tropical fish sales and YouTube videos. Basically anything tropical fish related. We have fun themed days in which you can make posts dedicated to the theme of the day. Here are some examples of our themed days. Monster Monday, post your favorite monster fish. Meme Monday, post your favorite tropical fish meme. Tank Shot Tuesday, post a full tank shot of your aquariums. Whatever Wednesday, the only day of the week where everything and anything PG-13 can be discussed. It does not have to be fish related. Group Share Friday. Have your own Facebook fish group? Share it on ours, as long as you allow us to share our group in yours. So go join our group now or after the show. Facebook group For the Love of Fish. L-U-V, not L-O-V-E. For easier access, just go to https://www.facebook.com/groups/theLUV of fish. So again, just go to facebook.com/groups/theLUV of fish. Now let's move on to having our very first fish keeping special guest of 2019.
It's time for our very first guest of 2019, right here exclusively on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. I'm pleased to welcome a co-founder of a wonderful Facebook fish group that we created. It's called For the Love of Fish. We created it in January of this year. So I'm very excited to have the co-founder on the show. But most importantly, I'm excited to have a fish keeper kickstart the first episode of 2019 for Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. So it is my pleasure to welcome co-founder of For the Love of Fish and fish keeper from Florida, Justin Richards, to Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. And yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. Sorry for butchering your last name there.
That's all right. Most people call me Jason.
That's true. A lot of people mess up my last name, too.
And how do you pronounce it?
Cardinelli.
Oh, is that Italian?
Yeah.
Awesome.
So it's a pleasure to have you on the show, and I can't wait to learn about your fish keeping hobby.
Well, let's start back when I was a youngster. My mother kept a octagon 30-gallon fish tank, and I knew nothing about fish keeping at that point. And I'm pretty sure my mom wasn't very keen on how to do water changes or test the water for that matter. I don't think we ever did a water change in that tank. And then for a while, we broke that tank down, didn't keep fish for a long time. And then I got married and had kids, and my sister-in-law brought us over a small little 10-gallon tank so that my daughter could enjoy having a betta fish. And while keeping that, I found that there was a such thing as fish keeping groups on Facebook. I didn't even know anything about groups. And it skyrocketed from there, and went out and bought a 55-gallon fish tank. And from there, I bought another 55-gallon fish tank. And then from there, I bought a 75-gallon fish tank, sold one of the 55-gallon fish tanks. And the reason why we decided to get more fish tanks was because we had read that keeping fish is great for anxiety, which my wife suffers from. So being able to turn the TV off once in a while and just look over at the fish tank and watch them do their thing. And even I don't suffer from anxiety, but it calms me after a long day of work and just sitting over there staring at it and enjoying it. So that's kind of how I initially got into the hobby, or back into the hobby, I should say.
That's awesome. That's true that fish tanks actually help anxiety as well as other health issues, including high blood pressure.
Well, it's definitely very serene and very calming.
That's what I enjoy the most about aquariums.
Yeah, until you have a problem with one of your fish and then you're frantically searching the internet for how to fix that. And that's kind of where our group comes in. I was a part of another aquarium group. I won't mention the name of them because I'm on bad terms with them, but that's where I learned a lot of techniques of keeping fish and treating fish, which before the Facebook groups didn't even know that was a possibility. Usually thought, you know, fish get sick, dies, flush it down the toilet. Learned very quickly you don't do that.
Yeah, that's very true. A lot of people get mad if you do that.
Yes, they do. You get a lot of flack on the internet if you talk about blunt force killing of a fish, which our group, I'm sure, disagrees with doing it that way. We will always try to help somebody if their fish is in need of treatment for all kinds of diseases. The most common two diseases that we see is ick and swim bladder disease. And both of those are very easy. Well, at least the ick is very easily treated in most cases, as well as the swim bladder disease can be treated in most cases, depending on the age of the fish. Don't claim to be any kind of an expert. I'm not perfect, and I have lost fish trying to treat them, but I've had some success too.
That's great to hear. So you sound like a very passionate fish keeper.
I am so passionate that I also rescue fish. A moderator for the Ohio Fish Rescue. I do rescues down here in Florida as much as I can. Did one last weekend with a giant gourami. Brought it from Boynton Beach, Florida, where unfortunately a lady's husband passed away, and that was their family pet. And she didn't have the means of keeping it anymore. She had it in a 180-gallon aquarium, which, in my opinion, was a little small for this 16 to 18-inch giant gourami. But we went up to Boynton Beach. We grabbed the fish, and we brought it down to Boca Raton to our friends over at Predatory Fins. And now it resides in a 5,000-gallon above-ground pool, if you will, but it's somewhat of an aquarium. It's got windows on the side of it, so you can look into it. But as soon as we put him in there, he was swimming all the way around the edge of the 5,000-gallon, just loving it.
That's awesome. I love giant gouramis. They're such personable fish.
Oh, when I got to this lady's house and walked up to the tank, he started what it looked like he was screaming at me, and he was splashing water all over the place. It was actually quite the experience trying to capture him without having a very large net. We had to use a trash bag, had to think a little bit outside of the box to get him, to capture him, to get him into my holding tank in my truck to deliver him. But eventually we got him to swim inside of the trash bag, and he blew out of the first one. And then the second trash bag we tried, we got, I guess, lucky, and I bear hugged him and ran him over to the truck and brought him down to Predatory Fins. And the other cool thing about this particular rescue, and this won't happen in every case, but because of the age of the fish and the size of the fish and the relation the fish has with the owner, Predatory Fins was nice enough to allow this to be a forever home for that fish. So the owner can go ahead and visit her husband's fish whenever she pleases.
That's awesome. It's always exciting to hear that. I'm actually going to be moving to Boynton Beach, Florida within a couple of months, so that's exciting as well.
That's going to be awesome. You and I can meet in person. Are you aware that we're going to be doing a monster fish bash at Predatory Fins in a few months?
Yeah, I heard of it. I was talking to Rodrigo the other day, and I plan on attending that event.
Well, I guess you and I will meet in person for the first time at that event.
That sounds awesome. Two fish geeks.
Yep. So
what are you currently keeping for fish?
Right now, one of my favorite fish, and I think it's because my wife loves them so much and I was successful in breeding them, the main fish I like to keep are angelfish. I also keep tiger barbs. I have a rainbow shark or red tail shark, whichever you want to go by. I have a bunch of different types of tetras, little fish in there. Let me see. I've got an iridescent shark. And just a note to some of the newer fish keepers out there, unless you have a pond or an extremely large aquarium, stay away from iridescent sharks. They look adorable, but they get to be 4 feet. 3 to 4 feet. They get to be a really big fish.
Yeah, iridescent sharks get huge. They're a fish that shouldn't be sold in the aquarium hobby.
Absolutely. I also was gifted by Rodrigo a red-tailed catfish, and the long-term plan was spoken about before he agreed to give me one. I told him that I would, you know, I just wanted to kind of keep the fish so I can say that I've kept one and kind of learn about it and enjoy it, you know, and its growth rate, and learn about its growth rate was one of the top reasons why I decided to get them. And ended up going out and buying a 125-gallon tank, which I just resealed about an hour ago, for that very reason of keeping him just a little bit longer.
Nice. Red-tailed cats are one of my personal favorites. I hope to get a pond when I go down to Florida and keep some red-tailed cats.
Down here in Florida, you can keep that pond going year-round without any issue whatsoever.
That sounds awesome. I know a lot of YouTubers have ponds like Paul Cassero, Luke Dombrowski, and Catch 'Em All Fishing.
I have yet to meet Zach, but I assume I'll be meeting him at the Monster Fish Bash at Predatory Fins. So that'll be fun. I've watched a bunch of his videos. He's a goofy guy, but he makes some pretty cool videos.
Yeah, he does. I can't wait to meet them all either, and I can't wait to meet you either.
And I believe Big Rich and Josh Price from the Ohio Fish Rescue will be there. So that'll be fun. I'll be able to meet them in person. I've spoken to them over, on the phone plenty of times, but never got to meet them in person. And I hope sometime this year I'll be able to save up a couple of bucks and take a plane trip up to the rescue and see it in person. As much as I support it, I've actually never been to their rescue.
That would be great. They have some amazing aquariums. I'd love to go see it myself, too.
Well, for those that are listening that don't know about the Ohio Fish Rescue, one of the main tanks that they show off in a lot of their videos is actually a 4,400 gallon, or maybe it's just a 4,000 gallon, but it's about 6 feet tall, and I can't even tell you how wide it is, but it's amazing. But the point I was going to get at is they're turning their indoor pool into a, how do I describe it? In layman's terms, just into a giant pond, but they're going to make it an actual ecosystem to where it basically takes care of itself. And at some point they're going to let visitors swim with the fishes, which I'm kind of looking forward to. So that's what's been delaying my going up there, because I'm kind of waiting for them to have that all set up. And I want to go, you know, enjoy that and see that, and that's going to be amazing. I think it's going to be about a 17,000 gallon body of water, so that's going to be really cool.
Wow, that's awesome. That would be cool to swim with fish like Armatuma and Paku and stuff.
Yeah, I've seen the biggest, I've always been pronouncing it Arapaima. Is it pronounced Arapaima?
Yeah, either or. A lot of people say it differently, but it's the same fish.
Right. Some of the biggest ones I've ever seen are at Predatory Fins. Those things are about 4 feet long and in his shop, and they're beautiful.
Yeah, they can kind of be intimidating, seeing a fish that big.
Definitely. Just watching them in that big, giant I don't even remember the size of the aquarium that they're in Rodrigo's shop, but they're just a beautiful, majestic fish. I mean, looking at them, they look extremely old, which, I mean, like, not old in, like, age, but, like, prehistoric is what I think I'm looking for.
Yeah, them and arowanas are some of my favorite fish, the prehistoric ones. They're very nice.
I'm a big fan of what the Chinese or those in Asia would call the, I think they call it the red dragon, is that their name for it, the Asian arowana. I know we can't have those legally here unless you hold a special license in the United States, but man, that's a dream fish to have for me.
Me too. I'd love to have an Asian arowana.
You would have to find, I don't know how people get the licenses for them. I've never really looked into it, but you'd have to get with the Federal Wildlife Commission, and they do give out licenses to some people for it. Especially, I guess you might have to run a rescue of some sort to do it.
I imagine that Ohio Fish Rescue could probably get one.
Oh, I'm sure they could. I haven't asked Rich personally, but I'm sure he could keep him if he wanted to. But see, the thing is who's he going to be rescuing it from if nobody in the state should be having them?
That's true.
But what better place to bring a fish that was being illegally kept to a wonderful place like the Ohio Fish Rescue? Every fish that goes there is so lucky. That's like the Taj Mahal of fish keeping.
They get a great home and they get fed constantly, so I agree with you.
Well, let the interviewee interview the interviewer. How did you get into fish keeping?
My dad actually was born my dad was actually keeping fish before I was born, so I was born in the tropical fish hobby, and I got my first aquarium when I was 12 years old, and I had a red devil as my first fish.
How long were you able to keep the red devil?
About a year or so. Then I traded them in, and I got into monster fish like Pacus, Oscars, arowanas, red tails, etc.
Unfortunately, that's another fish that I'd like to point out that should not be sold by anybody. You should have a license to be able to hold, to house these or sell them, is pacu. They grow to be a massive, massive fish, and they outgrow, they're tank busters. They'll outgrow your 55 gallon. They look so cute when they're small. They're not exactly piranha, but they look just like them. And they actually swim freely down here in Florida. You can catch them in the canals and lakes out here, the man-made lakes. We don't have real lakes except for the one up in Okeechobee.
Ah, nice. That must be cool, catching pacu.
I've done it. We've got all kinds of stuff from Oscars. We've got what we call brim or bluegill. You can catch a lot of native fish out here. I wouldn't recommend keeping any of the native fish down here. Well, I shouldn't say that, but, you know, pulling them out of their natural habitat and putting them in a glass box, I don't know, maybe it's just me, I'd feel bad about that, but, you know, I do keep other fish in a glass box, so kind of going against myself here in that statement, but, yeah, they can definitely be caught down here, and I would imagine some people catch them and try to sell them.
Unfortunately, that's probably true.
Yeah. I wish they would, they would ban fish that are actually, you know, that shouldn't be kept by anybody that doesn't have the proper housing for them, such as the pacu and red-tail catfish. If you don't have, and I'm keeping one, so I'm kind of talking against myself on that, but I do have plans. If once that fish outgrows my aquarium, I have a home for it that I can bring it to immediately. So I've got, I'm at least smart enough to think that whole thing out, but I guess the point I'm getting at is that Asian arowana, we have silver arowana, we have all different types of arowana that we can keep, but for some stupid reason, Asian arowana are not allowed to be kept, and I don't get it. I mean, they should be banning the sale of pacu and iridescent sharks and some of these fish that start out as cute little fish and end up being these giant monsters, and then now these people don't know what to do with them, and they go out and throw them in our lakes, and that's how we ended up with a snakehead problem down here in Florida. Just having a conversation on Facebook just yesterday with somebody that would love to keep snakeheads, but we're not allowed to keep them down here. Actually, we're advised to catch them and kill them on the banks because they are an invasive species, and they're taking out our largemouth bass population, and that's not good for our waterways down here.
Yeah, snakeheads have been a problem for years. They're actually banned across the whole United States of America, if I remember correctly.
You may very well be right about that. I'm not entirely sure on it. I didn't do a whole lot of research into it, but I do know for a fact that they're banned in the state of Florida. You can't keep them. I'm sure there's people out there catching them out of the canals and putting them in their fish tanks. I'm 100% sure of that. I know a guy who has one, but that's his prerogative. I can't tell somebody else how to keep fish or what not to do. Let them do what they want.
That's true.
But it is a very beautiful fish. And, you know, even though it's an invasive species, and one breed of them, and I can't recall the name of them, are actually capable of coming out of the water, breathing air, and walking across the street to another body of water. They're a really amazing fish. They're just unfortunately very invasive.
Yeah, that's the sad thing. They're so invasive. It'd be cool to own one, like you said, but they're illegal, unfortunately.
Yes, they are. You can't even take them across state lines. You're not even supposed to transport them at all. Like I said, in the state of Florida, for fishermen, if you catch them, you're supposed to kill them. And I know that sounds bad, and we're talking about fish and keeping fish and caring for fish, but that particular fish just in this area, they want to eradicate them.
I guess that's what you have to do with invasive fish.
Well, with any invasive species.
That's true. So how is the fish hobby down in Florida?
It's alive and well, down here in, well, I live in Broward County, which is just north of Miami, which most people know. Broward County has Fort Lauderdale, so a lot of people know the area because of Fort Lauderdale, but down in Miami, there are a crap load of fish farms that I have yet to visit, and it's alive and well down here. I know when I was, I don't know, around 20 years old, I'm in the irrigation trade, which is sprinklers, you know, for layman's terms. And I know I went to one guy's house, and not only did I have to check his sprinklers, but he had, I don't know, maybe like 10 or 15 above ground pools in his backyard. And each of them had different stages of koi, like different ages. Like you had the little baby fry, and then he had all the way up to really, really large koi that I guess he sold. That was a really cool experience. I actually had to go and change out the pump station that was pumping the water through all the above ground pool aquariums that he had set up to breed these fish. And yeah, some people just own a house and then behind it they have all these above ground pools where they're breeding fish like crazy down here. It's definitely a good hobby to be in a peninsula like this. I don't keep any saltwater fish, mostly because I don't fully understand how to, not yet. Maybe one day keep like a 30-gallon saltwater tank eventually at some point. I'm thinking about it. But, you know, down here in Florida, we've got all kinds of saltwater fish all around us. I mean, you could go out into the ocean and catch some of these fish if you wanted to keep them.
That's cool. And speaking of invasive fish, I know for saltwater, lionfish are all over Florida.
That's what I was going to bring that up next. Yes. Lionfish are another invasive species down here that are tearing up our oceans. They nothing will eat them. I mean, they're poisonous to a lot of other fish and to humans if they're not prepared correctly. But they are another magnificent looking fish that, I mean, if they weren't invasive or illegal to keep, I would love to have one. I mean, they're just a beautiful, beautiful animal.
I agree with you. I love their colors, and they have great personalities, the lionfish.
Yeah, they can be quite aggressive. Going back to the fish that I keep, I accidentally bred angelfish, and we had to – actually, I shouldn't say that. We figured out why we had eggs, and they all got eaten by all the other fish, and then – that's why I ended up buying our second 55-gallon. We went and set it up just for these two fish to breed. And I watched a ton of videos on YouTube of how to move the eggs and all that other stuff. And my wife and I sat out and said, you know what, we're gonna leave the parent fish in there and, you know, see if they'll raise their own fry. Well, three times of them laying eggs and eating them. On the fourth time, they left them alone. They started fanning them. And we got to watch from start to finish the eggs being fertilized and them fanning them for a few days and then them hatching and becoming wigglers and then free swimmers and then just growing them out. I had to change the water every night for, oh God, must have been like 2 months, maybe 3 months, because that's what you got to do when you want to grow some healthy fish. And I ended up giving them all but four of them away. Can't really sell angelfish around here. They're pretty plentiful. And I wasn't really planning on selling them anyway, but I really can't keep, what was it? I think I had 17 babies with the two adults. So 19 fish in a 55-gallon tank. It wasn't feasible. So I had to do something. And I ended up keeping four of the babies. And they lived in my 75 with the father because the mother wanted to try to kill him all the time. So I ended up rehoming the mother as well. Yeah. The father was a more desirable angelfish. He's a marble angel. The mother was just a silver striped angel. And I shouldn't say just a silver stripe, but the marble angels are a little bit more desirable. And he was a really good dad fish because he would protect his kids. Unfortunately, over the course of time, I've lost two of them. So I'm down to two of his babies. But it's really neat having the father fish living with a bunch of other fish and then two of his kids in the tank. It's really nice to be able to say, hey, we bred those and now I have them.
Yeah, that is awesome. I'm glad you were able to breed angelfish. I used to breed them too. I bred red koi angels.
Those are another beautiful species of angels. I want to, one of the things I'm going to look forward to is I've been talking to Rodrigo about bringing in Altum Angels, some blue Altums. And that's one of the things I wanted to set out to do this year was to try to breed a beautiful pair of Altum Angels, because those aren't found around here as much as your marbles, your koi's, your striped. And blue Altums are just, they're kind of unheard of in this area as far as I know. And I've looked around because I wanted to get some. So that was one of the other things I set out to do this year.
That's awesome. Angelfish are a pretty cool fish. I have a lot of love for angelfish.
Awesome.
So let's talk about our wonderful Facebook fish group that we created. What do you think of it?
I think it's doing quite well. It started out as the North American Tropical Fish Keepers, which wasn't a bad name. It just seemed a little lengthy. And then I don't know where I came up with or how I thought about For the Love of Fish, but it rolls off the tongue better. And it's also more inclusive of everybody around the world. We had some people that were joining the group from Asia, Indonesia, and I didn't want to single them out and say, oh, well, we're just North American tropical fish keepers. So I thought of it would be a better name. And then one of our new moderators that I don't even know if I told you I made somebody a moderator. Did I, or did you notice that?
I noticed it. It's no big deal.
Okay. No, Matt runs his own group, and he helped us actually make our name a little bit more unique. I didn't even think of it. Instead of spelling the word love, L-O-V-E, he's like, dude, just make it L-O-V, or L-U-V, rather. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. Now we're our own group. We're not sharing a name with another one. And the other group that's For the Love of Fish, they're all about eating fish. We're all about keeping them. But, yeah, the growth of the group's been great. The group was established on January 2nd, and here we're at the 20th, and we've got over, and I think I looked at it a little while before we got on the phone, I think it's over 225 people in the group, which is pretty good growth for a couple of weeks. And we've already helped some people out that had some issues with their fish, and it's just fun. I really go on there looking forward to helping people with their fish. I mean, and seeing everybody else's fish. Before I started keeping fish, I didn't even know what Facebook groups were for. I didn't even, I never really got into any of them. And when I got into this hobby, I had tons of questions, and I found Facebook groups that'd be very helpful. So once I kind of taught myself some things, I was like, well, let me pass this information along. And I really found helping other people, not only just keeping fish as a hobby, but the hobby of having the Facebook group and helping other people in the hobby is wonderful, and I love doing it. And that's why I'm a part of a couple of different fish groups, being Ohio Fish Rescue and For the Love of Fish. I'm happy to do it. I enjoy it.
I enjoy having you help me. I'm a very busy man with work and my podcast, and I definitely appreciate all the help you've been doing for my group, or our group, actually.
Well, you started it. I'm just helping.
That's true.
I work all day as well, and I'm actually was supposed to go and do a rescue before our interview, but that all fell through. I haven't heard from them, and if they do eventually contact me, I'll be rescuing. I don't know what size they are, but they're I call them eclipse catfish. But what did you call them?
Sun catfish.
Are they two names for the same fish?
Yeah, two separate common names.
Oh, okay. You know a lot more about catfish than anybody else I know, so I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I love catfish.
No, they're a cute fish, that's for sure. I mean, like going back to the red-tailed catfish, I mean, just looking at the face of that fish, it just looks like he's always smiling.
That's true. They have a lot of personalities.
Absolutely. Every time I get home from work, that thing goes from where it usually hangs out at the bottom of the tank. He kind of dug himself. I have him in a tank with sand substrate, and he dug himself a little kind of den under one of the pieces of driftwood, and that's where he hangs out most of the time. But as soon as I get home from work, he darts out of that little den and starts swimming back and forth. you know, just greet me at the door. I mean, I have a dog that does the same thing, but for fish to do it, it's pretty amusing.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people say fish are boring, but they actually have a lot of personality.
You know, there is one fish out there that I don't understand the keepers of this fish. Now, I'm not against any fish at all, but this one particular fish, people just love the idea of having them. And that's the piranha. In my opinion, they're an extremely boring fish, and they don't really do much until you feed them.
You're right about that. I used to keep piranhas. They're extremely boring.
Not to say anything bad about any fish. I mean, I think all fish need a good home, but just piranha, I don't know. Maybe it's just not my taste. And I think that throughout the hobby, there's a lot of people that would agree with me. They're pretty boring.
Yeah, and they're kind of overrated as well. They're not really as aggressive as people make them out to be. They're actually very skittish, shy fish, and they'll dart away as soon as you approach the aquarium.
Yep, there's tons of videos on YouTube, which I found very amusing, of people reaching their hands in, and they make it seem like they're going to attack them, and then they all just swim away. It's like, okay, what's the point of that?
I think a pacu is more entertaining than a piranha.
I agree with you, they are.
I personally like the silver dollars, like the red hooks and black bars, the best.
If you're into monster fish keeping, what size tanks do you have?
Well, right now I only have one tank, a 90-gallon, but when I move down to Boynton Beach, Florida, I'm planning on having a 180-gallon freshwater monster tank, and I'll get back into saltwater.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
And I'm also planning a small pond for one single red-tailed cat and a pacu.
Cool. What size of a pond are you thinking about?
Probably one of those plastic ponds that you build. I'm not sure how exactly big they are, but one of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I seen one yesterday on either the Facebook Marketplace or an app called OfferUp. Somebody was selling one. I don't recall the gallonage of it, but people sell those down here all the time. I've seen them on there several times, so you won't have a hard time finding one.
I miss having a red-tailed cat. They're one of my personal favorite fish of all time.
And currently my personal favorite fish, now that I've kept one for, I think I've had it a little over a month now. Yeah, it's been a little over a month that I've had that catfish, and he's grown. I think I got him at like 2 inches, and now he's close to 4. Those things grow extremely fast.
Yeah, they're fast growers, just like pacu.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to stay away from keeping pacu only because I know how big they get. Those are tank busters, and I live in a small two-bedroom apartment and on the third floor, so even the 125-gallon tank that I have in there, I'm really not supposed to have, but you know, I can't keep anything much bigger than that.
That's true. So you're basically limited.
I am. Right now I'm running a 55 and a 75, so I've got, 130 gallons currently running. And I just resealed my 125 that I got lucky, and I was able to buy it with the stand, the hood, and the tank, and some of the plumbing for $100. So I thought it was a really good deal, so I went and scooped it up, and I've been working on that for the last couple of weeks.
That's wonderful. That's a great deal, actually. I wish I could find a big tank like that for that price.
It happens from time to time. I had the gentleman that I rehomed a lot of my angelfish to, he contacted me a week or two ago, and he was like, hey, man, there's a free sump on, I don't know where it was, on the Marketplace or Craigslist or something. And I think I missed it by about 20 minutes because somebody else scooped it up before I could. And I'm actually currently looking for a sump so I can eventually set this 120 up the right way. And you'll be surprised. There's a lot of good deals down here in Florida for aquariums.
Yeah, I can't wait, because up here in Western Mass, the fish hobby is kind of dying. It's all about saltwater down here now.
Well, I used to live real close to you. Years ago, I lived in Toledo, Ohio.
Oh, nice.
Which is like knocking on the door of Michigan. Oh, wait, you said Mass. I'm thinking Michigan. Sorry.
That's okay. I was going to say that's kind of far.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a brain fart there. My bad.
That's all right.
Just trying to add a little comedy to the show.
Yeah, that's good. It's always good. So do you have anything else you'd like to talk about?
Not that I can think of off the top of my mind. I just enjoy keeping fish, rescuing fish whenever I can. I enjoy talking about fish as we're doing here. And it's like I said with the Facebook groups, I really enjoy helping people with their fish when they're, now I wouldn't say clueless as to how to help them, but they're not really sure of how to treat their fish. And one tip that I'd like to put out there for a lot of fish ailments is clean water will go a long way. You know, you don't have to always use medications in a lot of cases to keep fish nice and healthy. I mean, you keep the water clean, fish are going to be nice and healthy 90% of the time.
That's very true. I agree 100% with you on that.
I think I seen a saying like a month or two ago. Real fish keepers keep water. Because once you keep the water good, fish will do just fine.
That's very true. I agree with that as well. Well, you have a great day now, and thank you so much for being here. It's a pleasure having you on the show, and it was very nice talking to you.
It was a pleasure to be on the show, and this was our first conversation. You got it all recorded now.
That's true. We'll definitely have you on the show again, and I can't wait to meet you in person this year.
Well, I'll see you at the Monster Fish Bash at Predatory Fins. I understand you're going to be interviewing Rodrigo as well.
Yep, actually later tonight I will be.
Awesome. He's an awesome person and very knowledgeable. A very knowledgeable person and a really, really nice guy.
That's awesome. You have a great rest of your day, and thank you so much for being here.
You do the same, Alex. Have a good one. Happy fish keeping.
You too. Happy fish keeping.
All right. Bye-bye.
What a great interview with co-founder and admin of our group For the Love of Fish and Justin Richards. I want to thank Justin Richards for being on the show. It was a great interview. Right now, we're going to take a trip down memory lane, and we're going to learn about Corydoras catfish. A couple years ago, I had a show called Aquatic Wetline, which was a tropical fish keeping podcast, and one of my featured guests on that show was Lynn Masney. Lynn Masney was a Corydoras breeder who had a love and passion for Corydoras that I don't think will ever be duplicated. She loved her Corydoras. Sadly, she passed away in 2017, and I vowed that I would continue her legacy and her love of Corydoras. And that's what we're going to do here on Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Today, you're going to hear Lynn Masney talk about how she bred her corys. She bred gold laser corys, green corys, and wild-caught black corys. She has a lot of wonderful information on Corydoras catfish, and you're going to learn a whole lot about corys throughout 2019 and Season 3 of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast from our friend Lynn Masney. May she rest in peace. Now let's learn about Corydoras.
Lynn, can you explain to us how you raise your Corydoras fry?
How I deal with the fry? That's a good question because that varies amongst the breeders. Now, the way I do it personally is after the fish have laid the eggs. I take the eggs. They lay on plastic plants. I take the eggs and I put them in a 5-gallon fish tank. And I use 6.5 water, 6.5 pH, because that's the water that the parents are in. And then I go ahead and let them hatch. My fish take 5 and 6 days. So they hatch during that 5 and 6 days. When they're done, I take the plastic plants out, and I put them in a bucket of bleach water to clean them up. So I let them scoot around in there, but as soon as possible, I take them out. To transfer them, I use an airline tube. And you know the 5-gallon buckets of ice cream you can get, or the 5 quarts of ice cream you can get at the store? Well, we ate a lot of ice cream, and I take the buckets, and I use those to transfer my fry. I use the airline tube, and I siphon it and get it going, and I chase them all around the tank and pick them all up and put them in that bucket. Then that bucket goes to a 10-gallon fry tank, so that lets them grow a little bit before I put them into a bigger tank. Well, not bigger, but, you know, the next one up for the medium size. And then when I go to transfer them again, I'll use a bigger tubing and I'll suck them up again and put them back in the bucket, and then they go to the juvenile tank where they grow just a little bit more, and then they're for sale. But taking care of them, now pH, I've tried to do a pH of 7.0 to hatch them, thinking that, you know, if it was 7.0, they should be able to handle 7.0. Well, that wasn't true. I killed the whole batch. So I found that once they're hatched, I've got to keep them in 6-point water. So after they're about a month old, then I start transferring the water and checking the pH on it and lowering the pH till it's like 6.5. And then I gradually, using chemicals, I know nobody likes chemicals, but it works for me, so I gradually up it when I do water changes. So I gradually up it until they're used to 7.0. And then the rest that they grow is in 7.0. So that when I sell them to you, they'll go right in your tank. And there won't be a pH difference that can kill them. So with that as a start, what else would you like to know?
That's good. Now, what do you feed your fry? Is it important to feed your fry after they're born, or do you wait a while to feed them?
2 days. They come with a yolk sac, just like any other small animal. They come with a yolk sac that lasts about 2 days. And after that 2 days, I start mine on frozen baby brine shrimp. And then when they get to be, a little bit bigger, say, not quite quarter of an inch, I'll start feeding them Daphnia, frozen Daphnia, which is just a hair bigger than the frozen baby brine. And then when they get Daphnia, when they're that big, I'll start crushing up flake and give them a little bit of crushed flake in with it. And then when they get a little bigger than that, they jump up to bloodworms and more flake. So it's kind of a process that each tank gets something different, that I just kind of figure the size of the fish depends on what food it's going to get. Now, I've tried to feed my laser spawning group brine shrimp. They won't eat it. I've tried and tried and tried. They leave it in a pile on the bottom of the tank. Now, I haven't tried to feed brine to the fish that are growing. I haven't tried, but I think I need to, because they're tank raised instead of being wild, so they just might eat baby brine, or might eat brine shrimp. And I just bought fish food today and forgot to get some. And you can always tell a fish geek when you have no groceries in your house and your fish are fully stocked. So I have no groceries, but I have plenty of fish food. But that's kind of a step-by-step process.
Well, that means you love your
size.
Fish, which is good.
Yeah, they eat pretty good. And I've got certain pellets. I got some from a girl online named Zoe. I can't remember her last name, but she sells some really good pellets. And I've also got shrimp pellets, Omega shrimp pellets, and they love them. They love them, but the only problem is it turns the water to look like it's got tannin in it. It really discolors the water. And it takes me multi-water changes to get rid of it. So I try not to feed those that often. I think I fed the juveniles those for like 3 days in a row. And lo and behold, the water looks like tannin again. But they love them, so what are you going to do? You know, when it's a pet,
yeah,
you're going to feed them what they want. But that's pretty much what I feed them. And water changes, I do water changes according to the tank. If it looks like it's got a lot of food on the bottom, I do them immediately, at least every couple, 3 days. The baby brine, I mean the baby fry, when they're pretty new, I'll do a water change every couple of days and keep the water as clean as possible for them and keep, you know, any extra food off the bottom of the tank because that just adds to a fungus situation. And I'm priding myself on none of my fish have ever had fungus. 6 years, no fungus, no problems. But I do not introduce any other fish into these tanks. So I don't have to worry about store-bought fish coming in and breeding something into them. I have a community tank in the bedroom. And in that tank, I've got 15 of my little quarries. And that's a backup. Just in case I should lose my spawners, I've got these 15 rays that I'll have a backup. Which is always a good idea, because you never know. You just never know.
That's very true.
Have we got any questions
now,
yet?
Yes, I do actually have one more question on regarding the fry. Now, do you ever raise any wild, you ever breed any wild caught quarries, or are they all captive bred?
All mine are wild caught. My lasers. My lasers came from Peru. And that's why it's been kind of hard to find exactly what they'll eat. They like bloodworms, and they love those shrimp pellets. But I feed, before I go to put them to spawn, I'll do a cold water change, and I give them black worms. I don't know if there's another name for them or not, but they're live black worms. And they love them, and they'll spawn the next day. But the black worms, they're so big, I only feed them to the big lasers. But, yeah, I find that wild quarries, they spawned for me 2 times last year. And then after that, I never got another spawn out of them the whole summer. Now, this year, they started spawning, and now they're spawning every couple of weeks. So they finally gotten used to the tank, which is a big problem. So I've figured out that breeding wild fish can be a real problem unless you get used to it. But I sat on my bucket and I watched the fish and I learned their habits. I learned their behaviors. I learned exactly what to do, when to do it, and I kind of figured it out myself, and what I figured out worked. I've gotten really, really lucky, Alex. Really lucky. I drank a lot of beer sitting on that bucket in front of that tank. Just sitting and watching.
Well, beer is good.
Yeah. I almost thought of pouring it in the tank. It's like, God bless it. Come on. Do something in there. But I'm glad now that they're accustomed to the tank. And I went on Corey Doris' land when I was trying to get him to breed. And one of the guys on there who's Lee Meadows. He's breeding like 85 types of Corys. He's in Scotland. And he told me, he said, Lynn, you're doing everything right. Don't worry about it. He said, at the end of the day, they're wild fish. They're going to spawn whenever they want. And he was right. He was right. When they're ready to spawn, they spawn. And not a day before.
That sounds good. So it's nice to know that you can actually breed wild Corys. That's awesome.
Yeah. I bought them online. I bought them from Aquabid from a guy on there, Snookum21. I'll put a little plug in there for him because he's an excellent guy to deal with. And his fish were packed well, and I got everything on time, and he did me a really good deal. I paid $130 for 11 fish. That's including the shipping. So that was a pretty good deal. They more than made their money back. And I'm getting an even better deal on these blacks. I traded her 20 of my lasers, which I've already sent her, and she's sending me back 20 blacks. They're younger than what I sent her, but that's all right. I can raise young fish. I don't have a problem with that at all. And I thought she was worried that they'd be too small, and I told her, no, don't worry about it. I'm raising them all from Fry anyway, so what's the difference? I'll just raise little black ones. And they're worth quite a bit of money.
I'm going to talk to you right now about my personal 2019 fish keeping plans. As I announced earlier on in the show, I am indeed going to be moving to Florida. I'm going to be going to Boynton Beach, Florida, and that means a lot for my tropical fish keeping hobby because I'm also going to be moving up in the tropical fish keeping hobby when I move to Florida in the spring, and I have a lot of plans for that. My first plan is actually a dream that I'm going to fulfill, and that is own a 180-gallon aquarium. It's going to be a monster fish tank with Oscars and all of my personal favorite fish. And I'm going to use it as a grow-out tank so that I can get a larger pond for my favorite fish. So I'm going to have a 180-gallon aquarium that I'm going to house small baby monsters and grow them out and then add them to a pond. I also plan on having an outdoor pond so that I can keep red-tail catfish. Red-tail catfish are one of my personal favorite catfish, and I also want to keep paku. Paku are another favorite fish of mine, so I'm looking forward to that, and I think it's going to be a great addition to my tropical fish keeping plans. I never had a pond before. I've always wanted one, so maybe this year, hopefully this year, I'll be able to have an outdoor pond and have a red-tailed cat and paku. And last but not least, I'm going to have a saltwater aquarium again. As you guys may know, I had saltwater up until 2017, and I'm going to re-enter it this time with a 55 to 75-gallon aquarium and have some nice saltwater fish. I'm going to try having a school. Not a school, maybe like a trio of fox face rabbit fish and gold stripe maroon clowns. I definitely would need a bigger tank than a 55 or a 75. I'm just planning now. I'll probably use the 90-gallon that I have now and make that my saltwater aquarium. But those are my 2019 fish keeping plans. And of course, I factor in my podcast into my fish keeping plans. Now, I'm going to go over the fish that I am currently keeping. Right now, I have a 12-inch silver arowana that I got from my friend Thompson Pham, and he is a wonderful tropical fish seller. I definitely recommend anyone living in New England get their fish from him. He has Giardinis, he has silver arowanas, he has Lichardi arowanas, albino silver arowanas. He has gold nugget plecos, green phantom plecos, red-tailed giant gourami, a whole bunch of exotic fish. So figured I'd give him a shout out on the record because he has been my tropical fish guy, because my local fish stores in the area don't carry monster fish. And when they do, they're outrageously priced. But I have a 12-inch silver arowana. I have a tiger Oscar. I got the tiger Oscar back in November of 2018 at 2 inches. He's now about 4 inches, so he's doubled in size. I've got a 4-line Pictus catfish. I've got about 6 Hacer oriensis catfish, the green Terashuki catfish. I got a vulture catfish. I have a giraffe catfish. I have a Pictus catfish. And in my small tank, I'm currently growing out some iridescent sharks. Those are all the fish that I currently have. Now, the ones that I'm going to be bringing to Florida with me most likely are going to be my green Terashuki, Hacer oriensis catfish, the giraffe catfish, the vulture catfish, and my bikers. Oh, I forgot to mention my Polypterus. I have a Polypterus oroneus, or oronite biker, and a Polypterus Senegal albino. I'll be bringing them with me as well. So those are my 2019 fish keeping plans. Right now, I'm going to review predatory fins. Now, I've done 2 orders with predatory fins. One in December, and then one in January of this year. And I'm going to start with the December order. Now, in December, I ordered 10 green Terashuki Hacer oriensis catfish and a vulture catfish. And they were packaged well, and they came in great condition. And I acclimated them well to my aquarium for 30 minutes. But for some reason, the green Terashukis just kept dying off and dying off and dying off one by one by one by one until I was left with 2. I contacted Rodrigo, and he said he was going to give me the rest of the green Terashuki he had for free, and all I had to do was pay shipping. I was absolutely happy with that. That's a great business. That's what great businesses do. Very, very loyal customer to Predatory Fins. As soon as he said that, I knew that Predatory Fins was going to be one of my places that I could turn to for exotic fish. And soon enough, I ended up getting the green Terashuki Hacer oriensis catfish from Rodrigo. The vulture cat, on the other hand, came in perfect. No problems whatsoever with the vulture catfish. He ate like a 30 minutes in the aquarium. He's only been in the aquarium for 30 minutes, and he ate market shrimp and earthworms. And he's growing a lot now. He's about maybe 6 to 7 inches now. He was about 4 inches when I got him. So he's getting close to doubling in size within, 2 months almost. So very excited with that. Then in January, I got the replacement green Terashuki Hacer oriensis catfish. I also got an albino giant gourami and a tiger shovel nose and the giraffe catfish. All the fish arrived alive and healthy, and they're doing great. The replacement Terashuki catfish came in perfect. No problems with them whatsoever. When they arrived, they had punctured a hole in their bag, but I was able to acclimate them, and they settled in perfect. They are eating bloodworms and Miesis shrimp, and I give them Daphnia occasionally, which is great for them because that's what they eat in the wild. Now, I could say that these Hacer cats were well fed. They came in with big bellies, and I was very excited about that. So the replacement Terashuki cats are doing great now. I have about 6 to 8 of them. I lost count. There might even be more They school a lot, so they're really active and they're really hard to count, but I was very proud of that. The albino giant Garami settled in great, ate well, but unfortunately he was killed by my red-tailed giant Garami. That's on me, that's my fault. And the tiger shovelnose got eaten by some pike cichlids that I had. And that's on me, too, because I thought the tiger shovelnose was a little bit on the bigger side, but it was a juvenile tiger shovelnose. But I ended up getting rid of the pike cichlids anyway because they were going after my new silver arowana this week. I'm going to get a tiger shovelnose again later on this year when I move to Florida. So I definitely recommend predatory fins if you're looking for freshwater stingrays, exotic tropical fish. I will be ordering again from Predatory Fins. Rodrigo is a great guy, easy to communicate with, and he has a great business. Very busy man. He does a lot, and I have a lot of respect for that. So I definitely recommend checking out his business. We're going to have him on the show eventually whenever our schedules can interact and get along. We're going to have him on the show. I can't wait to talk to him personally. And I plan on attending his Monster Fish Bash that he's doing. And I can't wait to meet him personally. And he'll be one of my fish stores that I frequent in Florida. So check out Predatory Fins. They also have a line of fish food. They're starting to sell fish food, frozen foods, and dry goods. To learn more about Predatory Fins, go to predatoryfins.com and check out their YouTube channel, Predatory Fins. Now, let's take our quick intermission. I'm going to play a song from pop rock band Chasing Shadows. The name of the song is Open Your Eyes.
And I've been praying to you.
Now, to finish our show, I'm going to talk about three of my favorite catfish. They come from a family of catfish known as the armored catfish. They have really sharp scales, spines, and sometimes even swords. This species of catfish is known as Doradid. I'm not sure if I pronounced that correctly, but it's the family that has Raphael catfish, Corydoras, and other species. There's a lot of Doradid catfish in South America. But today, we're going to talk about the Acer oriensis catfish, the Niger catfish, and the Irwini catfish. We're going to start with the Acer oriensis catfish. Now, this is one of my personal favorite catfish. They are just like a Corydoras cat, but they get a little bit bigger so they can go in with Geophagus, Severums, and even Oscars. They're a very active schooling catfish, so you want to keep them in a school, maybe like 4, 5, 6, 7. They're known as a black tip mouse catfish. Very nice. They are kind of rare in the aquarium hobby. I'm sure Rodrigo from Predatory Fins can get more if you guys wanted some. I know Wet Spot Tropical Fish has some. And I know Jeff Rapp's TangledUpInCichlids.com has some. But they are found in South America, in Brazil, Colombia, Ecuador, Guyana, Peru, and Venezuela. They are known as a black tip mouse cat and mice catfish. They grow up to 7.5 inches in length. Usually, I'd say maybe 5 to 6 inches is probably expected, but they can reach up to 7.5 inches. Feeding. I recommend feeding the Acer catfish bloodworms, brine shrimp, flakes, and daphnia. They're very active during feeding. They love to eat, and they love to eat a lot. So feed them very well. Feed them about 2 or 3 times a day until they have nice full bellies. We're going to do a show on Acer oriensis catfish in the future. So now we're going to move on to the Oxydoras niger. Now the Oxydoras niger grows up to 35 inches in length. They are from South America, Peru, Brazil, and Colombia. Now, feeding the Oxydoras niger is easy. The niger cat will eat just about anything, but I recommend feeding them brine shrimp, bloodworms, flakes, small floating pellets, and market shrimp. And they can live with just about anything. The Oxydoras niger lives near piranhas because of their sharp dorsal spines and their sharp scales that they have. They're like razor blades, so they could survive a piranha attacking them, but I wouldn't keep them with piranhas personally. I would keep them with larger fish like Oscars, arowanas, datnoids, that sort of thing. And the last catfish we're going to talk about is the Megalodorus irwini. This catfish grows to 27 inches in length. It's often called the giant Raphael catfish. Feeding it is the same as the Niger cat. It can live with other Niger cats and other Irwinis and other Doradid catfish. And they're very beautiful. Now, I'm going to talk about these three species in depth in our very first episode of Catfish Corner when I talk about Amazonian catfish. I would like to remind everybody to join our Facebook fish group, the official Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast Facebook fish group, for the love of fish. So join our group for the love of fish. L-U-V, not L-O-V-E. Remember, when searching for our group, type in for the L-U-V of fish. Now you can find Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast on the following social media sites. The Aquarium Network, the official Facebook page for show news, updates, and latest episodes. So go like the Aquarium Network on Facebook. Patreon, support Aqua Alex and Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. patreon.com/aquariumhobbyistpodcast. iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Radio Public, Google Play Podcast, Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast, and Facebook Tropical Fish Group for the LUV of fish. And now we have reached the end of the Season 3 premiere of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. I, Aqua Alex Cardinelli, say thank you to Justin Richards for being our very first guest of 2019. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I hope you will become a loyal listener for 2019 and Season 3 and future of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. With that being said, I'll see you on the next episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Good night, everybody. Enjoy the tropical fish hobby and tank on.